what we were talking about earlier, and I said we could talk about it once we record. I don't know if you heard the episode when it was me and Tom a few weeks back.
Most of it. Then when you guys got into like really deep into wrestling, I kind of tuned out.
He said mid-July.
Really?
Yeah. So
I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, he said mid-July is when he anticipates being back, proving that Kelly is more strict than Rachel.
Yes.
Yeah. So
but, she's very cautious.
Yeah. But on that note, we are back, and this is a return to form, so to speak, an extra big treat. What you hear opposite of me, not on Zoom, in person, live, in color, would be just John Bender.
Hello.
It has been so long.
It has. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
I know. I don't even know. What are we supposed to do with our hands?
I know. We are technically too close.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's been other people. Shane sat in here once during the pandemic and did an episode.
Did he sit? He was here? He was here. Didn't Zoom?
He did not Zoom. He came over. But I think he was the only one.
Yeah.
And well, obviously my wife, but yeah. That's my wife. But we do have quite a bit to talk about, because I've been like storing things in the bank for when we can talk again. Yeah. And not that the Zoom was bad per se. It's just so much more fun when we get set here. When you can hear the clinking noise that we're cheersing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will start with this, though. Before we jump into pop culture stuff and before we play a little bit of catch up, I missed something this week that really kicked myself, because work is kind of coming back too, so we're busy. Prehistoric Brewing Company, the former Geekaholics, opened up this past week in Springfield on Wednesday.
So my neighbor's down there right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you can get me some beer from there, please do it. And I don't know if he did or not. I didn't want to bother him.
I don't even know their growler situation or anything like that. So
I just asked him to swing by if he's in the neighborhood.
And they had the grand opening Friday, but they had a friends and family only opening that I was invited to on Wednesday. I just could not make it. And then Friday, I was like, man, I could go down there and back in one day, but
that's a fucking journey, though.
Yeah, 3-hour drive. I do that for work.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but
that's not the norm for me.
So shout out to Charlie, to Keith, to Keith's wife Amanda, who's on board, to everybody. Shout out to the Geekaholics, the former Geekaholics, I guess we could say, and big fingers crossed for them. I mean, they've been at it for a while. It's a ballsy move during this COVID-19 time to start a new business, but breweries, as long as they're open, have been doing okay. So that I wanted to get that out of the way right off the top. But other than that, Bender, did you remember how to get here?
I did. It was a little rusty. The pool is the dead giveaway. I'm like, all right, it's the next street after the pool.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Well, the immediately.
Yeah,
immediately. Okay,
if you're coming from 79.
That makes sense. Yeah,
it's like Oak Valley or something.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah,
I never know the name. Do you know the names of people's streets anymore, or do you just know how to get places?
Is yours Bennett Place?
No, Bluffbrook.
Bluffbrook. What's your street? That's the name of the street.
Bluffbrook.
What's the name of the subdivision?
Bet.
It's Bennett.
No, it's Bluffbrook.
Oh, is it? Well, is Bennett before yours?
Yeah, it's Benton.
Benton, okay.
But that's the name of the builder, so it was all over the place. So I could see why you would think that.
Yeah, so I know the name of your old one, but I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know the name of people's streets.
Yeah.
I don't know my grandparents' street because it's like Country Road 183 or something.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, phone numbers now. I know a handful of phone numbers.
I know my wife's and mine.
Yeah, my wife's, mine, and my mom's, because it used to be mine. That's it.
I don't know my work cell by the top of my head. I can get some numbers off of it, but it's insane.
If the world ever really did end, we would be fucked.
We never talk about the place you work, and I'm not going to name the name, but I'm just assuming and that you survived the massive cuts that your company did.
This month. Yeah. But they're reevaluating every month, so that's way to up morale, you know?
Well, your industry is the worst.
Yeah, it's probably the worst. Hit hard. Luckily, I'm on the murder people side.
I was about to say, I know a person from each side, counting you and a parent from soccer.
Yeah.
And he said, at least it could be. He goes, it could be better for me. He goes, even though I've been there a while and I do good, he goes, the other side has it made compared to us.
So we didn't get hit too hard.
But now that you're venturing out of the house, though, how much venturing out of the house? I know you went to a campground yesterday.
Yeah, we went to Indian Camp Creek. That's the second time we went. I'm not going crazy. Like, I still, you know, I usually go to Home Depot on the weekends.
Which that, if you're going to get Corona, that's the place.
But I, you know, and I still wear the mask and everything.
But they have been busy as shit.
Yeah, and I always park far away and stuff. But I haven't done an indoor, I haven't gone into a restaurant yet.
Yeah, I have. We did Snibo's before indoor volleyball resumed, because it supposedly resumed and we were going to finish.
Wait, you're still playing indoor?
Indoor finished before the end of the season, or it was halted because of this thing, so they resumed it to finish the season.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Because they didn't want to give anybody a refund.
Yeah.
Well, the first week, the team we were going to play didn't show up.
Yeah, I was going to say, why wouldn't they just make it a wash?
So we finished in second place going into the championship, where the top four teams go, and we were all had like softball started, and I was like, well, we can't play now. So and I hear that only one of the four teams showed up.
Yeah.
So, but we went to Snibo's before that, and they have, every other table is roped off. It was so nice to go and sit with two friends, have some beers, eat some hot wings, and then go play volleyball. And
yeah, I haven't done that yet. I missed that. I did go into the beer sauce shop on Friday. Like, and actually went in. I didn't do the curbside. Like, I went in, had a beer.
I did not have a beer yet, but I've shopped around inside.
And that was amazing.
Like, yeah.
It just felt normal.
Wife and I had a day date yesterday where we went to the Cottleville Wine Cellar and just had a couple bottles of wine. The Huskoviches ended up coming down. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, they saw our Facebook post. They're like, we'll be there. And they showed up, and it was awesome. Then we came home and watched a movie that we're going to talk about in a little bit. A handful of things on the Netflixes to talk about.
Kids are exhausting, man.
Well, let's go ahead and get into it. I can tell you right now, the movie I was alluding to, the wife and I watched it. It's based on a comic book by Rick Remender. It's called The Last Days of American Crime.
Yeah, I just saw that. It just came out the other day, right?
Friday, yeah.
Yeah,
good? I've been pumped to see it, and I apologize for not knowing who the kid is in it that is the odd one, but he's been in all kinds of movies and shows. You'll know him when you see him. Was it good? Hard to say. I know Sharto Copley is in it. You know,
I'm not sure that
from District 9 and all that stuff. You know, he turned into the insect. He's been in all those. He was in it. He's one of the big reasons I was confused. I feel like there was a lot of backstory that we didn't know on each character that had I read the comic, I might know.
Okay.
And the movie's very long.
It's
2 hours and 20 minutes.
Jesus, that's the thing that bothers me.
And it's like two movies. And here's, I tell you this, I can't give it a review. I can't give it a rating. Because I don't know yet if I liked it. There were parts I loved.
Okay.
But Copley's character is a cop, or Copley, however you say it, C-O-P-L-E-Y, however you say it. His character has very little impact on the story, but is given a significant amount of time on his story, but they never flesh out his story. They just show him, and like every third scene is him getting to the end, and when he gets to the end, you don't know if he's there to be a good guy, a bad guy. And spoiler, then he dies, and you think, well, what was that all about?
Yeah.
I mean, there's 40 minutes of the movie that could have been cut out right there. so the premise of the movie is this. There's a thing called the API, American Protection Institute, or something like that, and it's a signal that they found that they can broadcast that makes anything that is immoral or illegal, you can't do it. So it's eliminating crime in America.
Okay.
Well, a lot of people are trying to get to Canada where they think their freedoms are still good. Well, this character, and you're looking his name up right now.
Edgar Ramirez?
The guy, the long hair, well, he's
Michael Pitt?
Michael Pitt, I think. He's been in a lot of, kid, right?
His name's Kevin Cash.
Yes, he's been in a lot of movies. He's a weird dude. He always plays a weird character.
Yeah, yeah. He was the son in Broadway Empire. I don't know if you ever watched
Boardwalk
that.
Empire.
Boardwalk, yes, you're right, Boardwalk.
And he is the bright spot in the movie. He is unbelievable.
He was a really good actor in Boardwalk Empire,
He's great. Too. He's great. And his character's great. And that's the extent of what... Well, no, there's good fight scenes in it, but there's some just really weird, ridiculous stuff. So anyway, he comes up with an idea to rob the money factory. That's what it's called. I don't even know the city there.
It's not called like the Fed or
it's
the Reserve.
Money factory, and it's got $1 billion in it.
Really fleshed out the writing there.
Yeah, so they come up with, and I got a feeling it was probably supposed to be kind of noir, tongue in cheek comic, and it didn't really translate that way, except for him. And so they're going to rob that. the night before the signal goes live and get into Canada, because money's no good to you if you stole it, because you can't spend it, because you know you're doing something illegal.
Okay.
There is, in case one day you're bored, you sit down to watch it, it is worth watching, but I don't know if I'll enjoy, it. So
okay.
Yeah.
Based on that and the amount of time that I have, I probably won't be pulling the trigger on it. I may spoil it
when we're not recording for those that are going to listen to it.
And I didn't know anything about it literally until Friday. There's a new Spike Lee movie coming out, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, something nine or something like that. It looks good.
Yeah, I think it's like a Vietnam, soldiers in Vietnam. Yeah, it did look pretty good.
Who find some gold and hide the gold, and then later in life they decide to go back and get it.
Yeah, and that's sort of the, well, not the find and go back, but the Ben Affleck one was like that.
Oh, yeah, there was money.
Where they were robbing a drug cartel. Yeah,
this one, though, was there's a lot of time that lapses in between. Okay. Because in the Ben Affleck one, it was immediate.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So
it's more like a flying hellfish scenario from The Simpsons.
It's kind of a combination of the Ben Affleck, which I believe, what was the name of that? I don't know. But that and Three Kings, the old Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Who's a George Clooney movie, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Very good movie. Underrated movie. So that's one of the things I've watched recently on Netflix. One of the other things is, and I'll save you the time on this, I enjoyed it, but I don't recommend it, Brew Brothers.
Oh, I watched about 5 episodes of that.
Oh, you're almost done. You might as well finish.
Yeah, I probably will.
And the last couple are the only ones that are worth it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like it's fine.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
If people say, "Oh, should I watch it?"
Yeah, I mean, you can't. It's one of those. I'll throw it on in the background when I'm doing some work, but like the moment the kids wake up, I'm like, I gotta turn this off.
Yeah, it's not. And even then, Missy even sat and watched it with me too, and she goes, I don't know if that's coming back for season 2. Yeah, I go, hard to say.
It's the one of the guys from the league wrote it.
Yeah.
And
you really want it to be great because it's about a brewery.
Yeah.
And they get so close so often. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of when the monks start popping up in it, it starts getting a little funny.
The monks?
Yes.
See, I didn't see that. I'm not there yet.
Because they allude that's where the brother that owns the brewery, not the snobbish brother.
Yeah, the regular guy.
He was trained by monks.
Oh, okay.
And they show up. So for those that don't know, it's about a brother that owns a brewery that's failing. He's got a 18-year-old girl, spoiler alert, that's his manager. He's got a Hispanic dude that knows absolutely nothing about anything. He's got 2 customers that are there that drink for free because they were backers.
Yeah.
And then his snobbish artisan brewing brother shows up to save the day.
Yeah.
So to speak. And there's some plot that goes around that.
He ruins things more than he fixes.
He truly is a good brewer, but he's so snobbish he ruins everything.
Yeah. Yeah. His ego gets in the way of everything.
And there is their neighbors are high-end sex toy sellers by appointment only, so celebrities go there.
See, I haven't seen that part. I saw the last episode I watched was the Mexican garage, the Spanish guys.
You've already seen the neighbors, and it's the 2 women they talk to.
Oh, okay.
You just got to be paying attention.
Yeah.
They talk. And then there's a food truck that sits on the outside, and it's a swinging couple that is worthwhile. Yeah. So there's a lot of good weapons that they never execute.
Yeah, they miss the mark on almost every joke, but there's a lot there. I guess it's okay. Again, if you're looking for a half-hour comedy, that
it's a 2 out of 5.
Yeah,
is what it is for me.
Yeah,
but I still would watch it. I tell you this though, there's a similar style show, but on a different network on Apple Plus that I shotgunned this past week called Mystic Quest, and I loved it.
That's the guy from
it's Charlie
Always Sunny.
Well, it's the star, but it's also written by Charlie and Day, produced. Yeah. So it's all the Always Sunny guys.
Is that really worth watching?
I loved it.
See, that's the thing about Apple. I have it for free for a year because I got it when you probably do too. Yes, you got it for your phone. I downloaded the app and I don't think I've ever opened it.
Well, that show is great and it does something and so far that I know of, it's the first to tackle COVID-19.
Oh, really?
Because I don't know if the final episode was supposed to be the final episode, but they Zoom called the entire episode.
Oh.
And it's pretty, in a show that's pretty silly with a lot of characters that have all these eccentricities, like It's Always Sunny. It is a touching. I tell you this, Charlie Day and all the It's Always Sunny people, when they want to do the feels, they execute it pretty well. And they do a good job. Like, for instance, the head programmer, she is Australian Asian, mm-hmm. and so she's 10,000 miles from her family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really have friends because she's a workaholic. So she starts losing her shit in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And Ian Bragg, which is the muscular guy from It's Always Sunny,
yeah.
he is the creative design. He's the head of creative and the person who came up with the idea for the game. He is a germaphobe.
Okay.
Or, and just as kind of a narcissist.
Yeah.
And so he is not dealing with the thing good either. So in the Zoom calls, he's working out extra hard and locked himself in, and she keeps slowly digressing into looking worse and worse. And there's a moment, and this is not a big spoiler in the episode because the episode ends way better than this, and this is a good part.
Mm-hmm.
He goes jogging, and she's like, what are you even doing outside? And then she just starts having a meltdown. And he just goes, open your door. And she opens a door. And they don't get along the whole season. And he's there. He senses she's in trouble. And they just pull it off, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Daniel Pudi's in it, who's Abed from Community.
Yep.
And he's hilarious in it. There's a writer on it that's a Nebula Award-winning science fiction fantasy writer.
Oh, really?
From the 70s. The actor, you'd know. But, yeah. I mean, but he brings it up all the time. What do you even do here? Well, I'm a Nebula Award-winning writer. He's to create backstory. And the running gag is every time they come up with a situation, he tries to go off and write a backstory for it. And they can't stand him. No more backstory. So I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. I'll watch it. What is a half hour? Dave, I'm still working through Dave.
Oh, loved it. We watched, me and Missy watched that in 2 days.
Yeah, I watched episode, I don't know how many there are. Is there 8, 9?
10.
10. I watched episode 5 and 6 the other night, and I don't remember if it's 5 or 6. The one where they deal with Gator's, spoiler alert, bipolar.
Great.
That was an oddly heavy episode.
Man, again, this is an FXX, another place that's home to Sunny. Man, what a good episode.
It was, like...
It gives Gata, who seemed a pretty paper-thin character, a lot of life. And they flashed back and tied it all together.
And the flashbacks give you such anxiety. Like, when you're watching them, you're like, this must... Like, and you just feel so bad
for him. In the shoe store.
Yeah, the shoe store. And then, like, even, like, when things are going right for him, and he's just too much, and he ruins it for himself.
Start doing push-ups, and...
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, God, this makes my stomach hurt. This must be what it's like to... You know, like this,
and you know what his name in real life is? Gata. He's a rapper. He's a real rapper.
He's great.
Well, Lil Dicky's a real rapper.
And then most of the, like, the actual, I don't know who 99% of the rappers in that show are.
Oh, yeah.
Because most of them are, like, this newer, like.
Well, there's also some fake ones, too. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, but, like, there is name drops and real people, like Charlemagne the God's in the last episode.
And he's real. And I think, like, Macklemore was in the second episode.
Well, Macklemore's, it's a little late. It's when he, the first time he spoke.
Yeah, it might be like, the third episode. But, yeah, he's in it and he plays himself. It is a good scene. It's funny. And that's, I mean, good on Macklemore for, like, you know, realizing what he, like, doing, it's basically a joke on himself, and he was in on it. So.
Well, I tell you this, it pulls off perfect the idea that in order to be a success in something like hip hop, especially if you're going to manufacture your own success, you have to have an ego.
Yeah.
And Lil Dicky's ego gets in his way, but at the same time, it's his ego and his belief in himself is why he ends up, he's making it. By the end of the show, even though he's still got struggles, he's doing the damn thing.
Yeah. And I read an interview with him, and he is, you know, everything that he does in there is basically,
it's,
you know,
true to true life. It's very autobiographical.
But he had a job, like, right out of college, because he's upper middle class Jewish kid from the East Coast, and he had a great job out of college working for the NBA, and he was cutting commercials. He was doing like analytics stuff, and then he wrapped one of his analytical reports, which got him like head of like marketing and stuff. Yeah. So then he was cutting commercials and stuff, and he had a spectacular job that people would fucking kill for. And he was like, "Nah, I want to be a rapper and quit."
Well, now he's got that Chris Brown song that's a massive hit. Yeah. Now he's making money, and he's very good at rapping. And
yeah, he's great.
Really, he only raps twice on the show. You have yet to see the second time, but the first time was awesome.
I know, like at the end of episode 6 is his, like, first. He's opening up for Meek Mill.
Yeah, you don't see it,
and you don't see it. And I wanted to see it, but the silence I thought was really cool. Yeah. The way they pull it off, because it's like, you know, you're supposed to be, like, in his head, and it's just...
Again, what a weird, very different take on dealing with quote unquote childhood friends.
Yeah.
And fake people.
Yeah, that was great. That
and
was
with,
a good episode.
With his own self, what he does to his own self. Missy goes, holy fuck.
Yeah, like five and six were so deep.
Yeah, she goes, she goes, for being silly, that was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you know, because like a couple episodes earlier, they're, you know, he's having sex with a blow up doll, which, I mean, that was a pretty.
Not even a blow up doll, just like a jelly. And legs. Like,
yeah. That was a pretty deep thing about his own insecurities, but it ends with him almost eating his girlfriend's ass on a table.
Oh, let me ask you this, too. Not in your traditional Hollywood starlet way, but how hot is his girlfriend?
Oh, super hot.
Yeah, and not.
I looked her up. She's been in some other stuff, but not anything major.
And she's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and she's funny.
And that milking episode that you referred to, I'm telling you. So I was listening to Fighter and the Kid, which is Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen. And Brendan Schaub said, next to Rick and Morty, Dave is his favorite show on TV. So I finally convinced Missy to watch it. Did not want to watch it. She did not want to watch it.
Neither did Rachel.
And after the first episode, Missy goes, well, we got to keep going now.
Rachel
and,
watches it. She likes to pretend she's above it, but she laughs.
Oh, you can't be above it. That's It's the American dream.
She's like, it's so stupid. I'm like, yeah, that's the fucking point.
But it's stupid, but because it's a stupid look at factual things that happened to this guy.
And he's just... And the other, I think the head writer on it co-wrote for Larry David's show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that's why it has that Curb feel to it.
Oh, and I forgot to mention someone that Missy and I saw live open up for Joe Rogan. And I love his whiskey podcast. What is it? Whiskey Red. Andrew Santino, his redheaded friend.
Yeah.
That's a stand-up comic, Andrew Santino.
Is he really?
Oh, and he's hilarious stand-up comic. But he's great on the show.
Oh, he's great.
He washes his
Yeah, I was like... They mention it in the store, and I'm like, they're just fucking with Gator. And then, like, they cut to the next scene. I'm like, Jesus, I wonder if this really fucking happened.
Well, and that's, again, back to, I can't stress how great the characters are in this. And Gator is the quiet hero of this.
Yeah.
So much so that Andrew Santino's character, he falls in love with Gator.
Yeah.
He's
like,
I love you, man. When Gator helps him stream his fish show, oh, that was hilarious. He goes, when are they going to start playing? Cause he goes, they sound like they're still warming up. No, they're playing. Oh, okay. Cool. You want to smoke that?
Have you ever, like, heard a fish song all the way
God,
through?
Oh, God, I can't stand them.
I've never heard one all the way through.
I probably am a little guilty of, you know, claiming I was a fish fan before I really listened to them because they got so popular for being the next Grateful Dead. And and everybody was like, I had some buddies that were real big fish fans. I'm like, yeah, I'm into it. And when we were in high school or college, I mean, we would, you know, roll one.
Mm-hmm.
Sit back, somebody turned it on, and even Stone, I was like, God, this fucking can't happen.
Yeah,
I gotta bail out of this. Pull out.
My buddy Branson, his best friend Steve, is probably the smartest guy I've ever met.
Like, he's a fish fan.
And he would, he's a fish fan, and his company would fly him to, like, he worked at a nuclear plant in North Dakota or something one year, and they would fly him home every weekend if he wanted to, and he just had him fly him to wherever fish was playing, and he would just hang out. I asked him, is it different songs? He's like, nope, but it's different experiences. Is it?
No.
I mean, unless you're high the whole fucking time.
Well, also, too, we don't get out of that what he does.
No.
So if you get out of it what he's getting out of it, then every experience is probably colorful and different. But listen, there are some Grateful Dead songs that I dig.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more Grateful Dead songs that I don't like.
Yeah. And the atmosphere, too. Like, I don't put me in a big muddy field with people who probably haven't showered in a month. That's not for me.
Oh, and that is a fish concert.
Yeah,
right there.
That is not for me.
Anyone you've ever known that has made a hemp rope has been to a fish concert.
Yeah, like does anybody have hand sanitizer around here? Yeah. I gotta go.
If they're making their own soap at home, they're a fish fan.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's a soccer mom that is bored.
Yeah, like Branson's pretty hippy dippy. Like they got fucking chickens in the city. I don't think he's a huge fish fan though.
But he's got some bands though that he's like,
into some weird stuff.
They're not fish though.
No, he's like, I went to this concert in a cave one time. I'm like, that sounds awful. Mm. Like sounds terrible. Why would you do that?
It sounds like a girl got raped.
Yeah,
not that Branson had anything to do with it, but at some point, girl got too stoned and tripping and got raped.
There was definitely a satanic sacrifice. Yeah.
Someone got felt up like a bowling ball. They put a finger in every hole. Yeah, I don't know. So that's a little bit of what I watched. You had to have watched some stuff, even though.
Yeah, I mean, still watching a lot of Outlander. I just watched last.
Have you not caught up on that fucking show yet?
There was 5 seasons. We had to watch all of them.
Oh, and you still are watching it, and you've never had a great thing to say about it.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's,
again,
they're in the American Revolution now.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no. I don't want any more updates. I've got the one rapey one that you guys talked about.
There was
about.
Another rapey scene, and everybody's getting raped.
Huh.
Like, I got to be honest, man. I would not, if they had the opportunity to go back in time, I'm not taking it. Not taking
it. No, you're rolling the dice.
Especially that far back.
Yeah, between dysentery and rape, it's not a good time.
Well, like, they kind of address that because she's got all the vaccines and stuff, so she doesn't get, like, malaria, typhoid fever and all that shit. She doesn't get any of that, but
she's like superhuman.
But every other episode, somebody's trying to rape her. So
she's an abnormally tall woman, and she can pick up things that no one else can.
Yeah, exactly. But I just watched last night with the kids. I watched Ready or Not.
Oh, that's
the weekend
great.
Before last,
that's
and
great.
I loved it.
Oh, speaking of, like I tweeted out, Samara Weaving. I'm in love with her.
Yeah, it was. It was, I knew the premise going in, like, I basically knew what the movie was going to be, but, even by the end, I was still thoroughly shocked at the twist that her, you know, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But, like, she's such a great actress, and, like, the survivability and the comedic deaths, like, I laughed out loud every time they killed a
servant.
Yeah.
Like,
because they're also just, like, comedically terrible. Yeah. You know, they're like. Every time.
The wife, the annoying wife who accidentally murders him.
Yeah, the one that's all coked out all the time. Yeah.
So I watched 3 hyperviolent movies over this thing. Ready or Not.
Yep.
Gosh, what's the name of the one with the girl from Glow that I watched? I tweeted about it, too.
The Hunting, where they hunt him down. Yes.
That was an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And then I watched Guns Akimbo last week, and Samara Weaving's in that, and she doesn't even look like her.
Yeah.
But it's fucking great.
I want to watch it. That's a movie that is definitely by myself.
No, yeah, definitely. Definitely not.
Well, I mean, Rachel wouldn't watch that.
Missy loved it.
Did she?
Oh, yeah. And Daniel Radcliffe is perfect for it.
Yeah.
I could see them, if they wanted to miscast that movie, they would have put Eisenberg, what's his name?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg. But they fought that urge and put in Daniel Radcliffe, who, because the character's supposed to be kind of a wimp and annoying.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody on the internet wants him to die, but he gets so lucky so often that they start rooting for him.
Yeah.
And you in the movie, you couldn't do that with Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Because you'd want him to die the whole
time. Yeah, exactly.
But it is, and plus, it's, you know, they call him Akimbo, Guns Akimbo. That's his name on the screen.
And they glue guns to his hands or something?
They bolt guns to his hands.
It.
They
go
hard on him. And go ahead.
Did you watch that show, that TBS show that he's in? I watched the first season, The Working People, I think it's called.
The first one was during
they're workers in heaven. And then the second season, it's like in the Middle
Ages. The Renaissance, or Dark Ages.
But he's like that in that. Like he does such a good job of playing this like neurotic, nobody can stand him, but it's really, he's just really type A kind of guy that you end up loving.
He could have just miserably failed after being Harry Potter.
Yeah.
He could have, and not that Mark Hamill did fail, but Mark Hamill had a long career.
Yeah.
I mean, he fell into voice acting and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like Mark Hamill came, Luke Skywalker propelled him to superstardom in Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, the only person who really came out of that with like,
Harrison Ford.
A lot of points on the board was Harrison Ford.
And that's because he was in other stuff going into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but then, you know.
Plus he's handsome.
Yeah, he's Harrison Ford. And but I mean, Daniel Radcliffe, though, he really nailed it. Yeah, I'll take one. Yeah, you got to watch it. I told Missy on Ready or Not, I think I gave it a 4 out of 5, maybe 4.5. I loved it. And then that, The Hunt, I think it's called The Hunt. I couldn't be wrong.
Like that.
I gave it a solid one. And then the last one, that Guns Akimbo, I'm 4.5 out of 5 on it.
We watched last night with the kids.
Can I have mine back? Oh, all right. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate it.
We watched last night with the kids, and I was really, really pumped for it because the reviews have been great. And it was fine. But
what was it again?
I haven't said.
Oh.
Because the reviews have been really good. Everybody's like, oh, it hit 100% of the marks. We watched Sonic. And it was fine.
I heard that if it wasn't, what I heard on Sonic, yeah, changing him was a smart move. But everybody said if Jim Carrey wasn't it, it would not have been worse.
No, yeah, it would have been awful. Jim Carrey fucking kills it.
Yeah,
kills it in it.
He's old, like, school Jim Carrey.
Yeah, 100% goofy and weird. Like, I have no idea. The lines that he says in it are just so ridiculous and stupid that they had to have a million takes because they're just, it's over the top. And he's got this stupid, prospector's mustache in it whole time.
He's Dr. Robotnik.
He doesn't get that big, gigantic mustache until, you know, the very end of the movie. But, man, he's fucking great in it. But otherwise, the rest of the movie is just fine. And, like, I like Ben Schwartz, and he does a good job. His voice is Sonic is great.
Oh, is that who? I didn't even know that was Sonic.
Yeah, and the guy who plays Cyclops in all the X-Men movies.
Yeah, James Marsden.
Yeah, and otherwise, if it wasn't for Jim Carrey, it would have just been like a meh. It'd have been on Garfield level or whatever. And I enjoyed it, but I was expecting more based on everybody saying it's so great.
Yeah, we did Scoob. We watched Scoob.
I watched that with the kids too. It was fine.
I like the updated Scooby-Doo song. Uh-huh. That was cool. Missy really dug that. The movie to me was enjoyable but forgettable.
Yeah.
I'll say if it accomplished anything, Hayden went after that we watched it on a Friday night, and that weekend Hayden spent the whole weekend when she was in her, anytime she was in down chilling, she watched Scooby-Doo on Netflix, the old ones.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I liked the expanded Hanna-Barbera universe stuff where they're bringing on all the other characters. Okay.
Yes, I did too. But one of my favorite characters from all that time is Captain Caveman.
Yeah, and he was kind of weird.
Tracy Morgan did not pull it off.
Yeah. And he had like 2 minutes worth of dialogue.
Yeah, but he screwed up the Captain Caveman. Yeah. Then I wanted a little pop out and go, and son, in the later days. But yeah, I wanted him to be all. When I saw, I was scrolling through because Missy wanted to know who the voices were. And I was scrolling.
How do you not know that's Tracy Morgan, like, right away?
No, earlier. Yeah. But I was scrolling, and so was reading the voices. I go, I saw who Tracy Morgan was. I was like, I'm so excited. Captain Caveman is going to be in this. And then after it, I was like, I was let down by Captain Caveman's appearance.
I didn't know Mark Wahlberg was in that at all.
He was. I didn't know that either. I didn't know he was the Falcon. And, yeah. But when I found out it was him, I was like, oh, well, duh.
Yeah, yeah. And then what's the Kim guy was the dog? The guy from Hangover.
Oh, yeah. And then the other big one was Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Who was the Fred.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fine. It was a fine movie.
I would have liked it a little. I mean, I haven't watched it. I tell you this. Unless it's super awesome, even Toy Stories haven't done it for me of late. Like, you know, I used to be all big time Pixar and everything. Yeah. I don't not there's very hard for me to sit down and watch a cartoon anymore because my girls don't do it anymore.
Yeah,
so I
watched. I thought Toy Story 4 was meh at best.
Everybody ran and raved on 3, and I thought it had moments, but it wasn't my favorite.
Oh, I loved 3. 3 was great. I mean, it's not better than the first one, but I thought it was better than the second one. I started based on your post. I haven't finished it because Vera fell asleep, and I wanted to finish it with her. But The Black Cauldron. Never heard anything about.
I loved it.
And it's good. It's entertaining. I can see why. So I went back and did a little reading. Apparently it flopped. It was like a $40 million movie in 86.
Yeah.
And it flopped, never made any of its money back. But according to that article that you posted, it's going to be the next live action.
That'll be awesome, too.
Yeah, and that would be cool.
Yeah, as a kid, Black Cauldron and Sword in the Stone were my two favorites.
I've seen Sword in the Stone, but I haven't watched in a while. But Black Cauldron is pretty out there and kind of risky, you know. It was the first Disney movie to get a PG rating.
Yeah, not PG-13. Yeah, I mean, it's there's or, some
no
PG-13.
Yeah,
yeah, it's got some dark spots in it, man.
I don't know if it's 13. It's PG. I think before that they were just
right. G. That's right.
But yeah, it's got some dark spots and there's like, you know, some like sexual innuendos in there for a while with the witches and the frogs. Another movie that I threw on with the kids, and I think that Disney would hit the mark with is and I think I tweeted it, but I don't remember. Treasure Planet. Did you ever watch that one?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
it's basically Treasure Island, but in space. Like the story. It's the exact same story. And I think they should do that as opposed to like rehashing Pirates of the Caribbean. Like throw that out there and see if that takes off, because that movie's fun as hell.
I'm down with that. I could buy that. Missy and I also watched Lovebirds on Netflix.
I tried to get Rachel to watch it, and she didn't have any interest in it.
It's worth it.
Is it?
It's, we also watched The Wrong Missy.
The Wrong Missy.
It's another Sandler movie starring David Spade. And
oh, yeah. I did not want to watch that.
Better than it should be.
Really?
Yeah. It's not. I mean, is it hilarious? Yeah, it's hilarious in the way of all Adam Sandler movies are, no. You know.
Is he in it? Or no, is it just David Spade?
Just David Spade. And David Spade's great in it.
Yeah.
Did you watch his show on Comedy Central?
I would watch clips on YouTube.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Comedy Central canceled it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They always cancel that
and
stuff.
Every stand-up comic was like, you're dumb. This is the funniest show. They canceled the Jeselnik's new show, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Speaking of Jeselnik, he posted a picture the other day of himself. He's got a lot of tattoos. He doesn't strike me as a tattoo guy.
Well, he's very different than you think he is all the time. Like,
yeah. I wonder what he's really like. Like
comics love him. They think he's one of the best joke writers there is.
Yeah.
And they're all jealous of him because they're like, you started this shtick since day one, so you can get away with a lot more than other people.
Yeah.
Like that's just it. If you're that person, you be that person. Don't be, you know, an amazing comic like Jim Gaffigan, and then every once in a while say stuff like Jeselnik. It won't work. They'll skewer you.
Yeah, you'll be hashtag canceled.
Yeah,
you never cancel on Jeselnik because it's been his brand the whole time.
yeah, you got to go all in on that type of humor.
Yeah, what do you think of this Mosaic by Four Noses?
It's a good.
Weird. It's weird, but I really like it.
It doesn't smell like it tastes.
No. Not at all. Like, I was expecting it to be flowery, so I've been, kind of... Every time I go to Beer Sauce now, I buy, one beer that I don't normally buy. Like, I did Far, Far Away the other day. I think it was called by Off Color Brewing, which is a Berlerweizen.
Yeah, I don't like Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, and I normally don't either, but I was like, this one's like a ale mix. I'll give it a shot. I enjoyed it. Am I going to drink it again? Probably not, but I enjoyed it there. This one I've picked up both every time I've gone back because it's just really... And this brewery, this Four Noses Brewing Company, is pretty solid. Everything I've gotten from them I've enjoyed. They're out of Broomfield, Colorado.
Well, you think Colorado, you'd have to be great because you're in Colorado.
Yeah, the competition's stiff.
Well, I just had to stand up to let the dogs out. Now I'm going to ask you to open that door for this dog, if you would.
Yep.
Coming behind you.
Don't hit it. Do it at an angle.
Yeah. You know, we've been drinking, you know, obviously we've been drinking quite a bit during this whole thing, probably more than we should have.
I have been.
But I haven't, and I joined this thing called, and I added you to it to see if you'd do it, but I haven't seen you post in it, Beer It Forward.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I sit
on
you
Facebook.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to be honest. If it requires me to tag somebody else in chainmail fashion, I'm not doing it.
Well, see, it's different than that. What it is you get on there, you post your address, and then one day somebody will just drop beers at your front porch.
See, I will do that.
But you have to drop beers at someone's front porch at some other time.
That's fine. I don't mind doing that.
That's the idea. You're beering it forward.
When did you post it to me?
I sent it to you probably the same day Andrew Tesmer, owner of the Beer Sauce Shop, suggested me to it.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I'll look for it.
Tommy's in it. He's never posted his address. And then Nerdcast J is in it as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do it. I didn't see that one. But I started the
music.
It's
a closed group, so don't be going and looking for it, people. You got to be invited to it.
Okay.
So.
I have to look up the invite because I don't think I clicked on it at all.
You probably denied. You're like, Bohannon's inviting me to do stupid shit, like these fucking songs or these
books.
Well,
the song thing I did twice and I forgot. I'm like, that's too much work. And then you did the book one.
I thought the book one you'd jump on because there's a lot of books you like out there.
I would do it. I just don't like chain mailing people. Like, I don't want to make other people do it.
I've got a buddy that's been doing it and he won't tag anybody in.
Like, I'll do it. I'm just not going to tag anybody.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know if I was breaking the rules or destroying the fun.
No, you're not destroying any fun. I just like to, because I like, you know, anything that's not politics, I like to put it out there. So.
You see the, has anybody tagged you in the 22 days of 22 push-ups thing?
No, I've seen it, though.
Have you seen it? I like watching it because 99% of the people doing push-ups aren't doing push-ups.
Yeah, well, I tell you, with my big-ass long monkey arms, push-ups suck for me.
Well, like, a lot of the guys that I know that are doing it are ex-military guys. I'm like, how did you forget how to do a fucking push-up? Yeah. It was like your whole basic training, right? Or is that just in movies? I don't know.
They say you could do it the cheating way, too, if
yeah,
you need to.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not. They're definitely not push-ups. I know you said you had a bunch of stuff. The only really thing that you kind of brought up a lot of stuff that I want to talk about was the big news that has, I guess, been going around the kicking around the nerd world for the last couple of years is the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. It's
finally going to happen.
And it changes.
Yeah.
It changes, like, people
say...
Well,
it's still in the air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it changes, like, oh, is it 3 hours long? Is it 2 hours? What is it? What's the difference?
Well, it's... Now they're kicking around if it's going to be just one long movie or if it's going to be, like, a miniseries type thing where they do, like, four to six episodes of it. I got you this thing, whatever this thing is.
Yeah, I'm switching out. That's a little heavy.
Is it?
That's a collaboration with the Beer Sauce Shop and Third Wheel, and it's great. It's silk pajamas, but
I didn't see that when I was up there the other day.
Yeah, well, it sold out pretty quick, and it is a very, it's 6.5, but it's strawberry, raspberry, vanilla, so I gotta be in the mood for it.
Fancy.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I think about it, because first off, I thought Justice League was stupid. I didn't like it at all. Don't really care. Yeah. I guess if this new one comes out and it is 60 to 70% different, I'll give it a shot. But I still think all of Zack Snyder's stuff looks like shit.
I have what I like to say, no fucks to give on anything Zack Snyder and DC anymore.
Exactly.
So if it's great and I hear that, I'll give it a chance. Yeah. If I'm at home one day, am I going to go out to buy it, look for it, download it, whatever? No.
But what... After that happened, and I forget his name, I should have wrote it down, but the director of Suicide Squad.
James Gunn? Or
No, the first one.
The original one,
I think. David something or another. Anyway. Anyways, is it David Trank? Might be that. It's either one of them did that. But he said that the movie that he put out isn't the Suicide Squad that he filmed.
Whoa.
Like, the movie that was put out isn't the Suicide Squad that he filmed, and now there's talks about him being able to put his version out, because technically his will be cheaper because everything's already shot. They just edited it differently than he would have.
It was David Ayer.
David Ayer. Yeah, I knew it was David something.
Yeah.
And then right after, and apparently HBO Max is kicking around that idea. I guess it's HBO Max because they don't have a ton of content coming out. And they're like, sure, if you want to, instead of doing content on this, we'll throw this movie out there. But I think it's like a dangerous and dumb premise to keep switching up director's cuts and stuff chopping stuff up.
I don't mind them releasing director's cuts. What the problem is studios need to get the fuck out of the way. And we said this back when it was with Star Wars, when they changed the directors on that. Solo ended up being an okay movie.
Yeah.
But
I think it's better than okay.
I enjoy it. Yeah, but
I think it's a very solid Star Wars film.
But the problem is we don't know what was the original concept,
exactly.
What was Ron Howard. I believe if you are a studio, especially as big as the House of the Mouse or even Warner Brothers, and you hire a known director like they have and got, let them write it out. Don't fucking hire them if you don't want to go with what their vision is.
And I could see if, like, isn't it Apocalypse Now that was, like, all chopped up, but basically
there's
the director was
six,
insane?
Like, it and Blade Runner, it's been, like, six or seven different versions of it, yeah.
But I think Apocalypse Now was because the director was, like, nuts and wanted everybody to live on an island type thing.
Yeah, well, Apocalypse Now had a lot of issues going with it. Like, Marlon Brando showed up, like,
fat.
Super overweight. And, I mean, it was that one, Yeah, that one was problematic.
Yeah, but I mean, like, then I could see you stepping in. Like, if you're putting people in danger and stuff. But, yeah, like you said, just leave it alone. Like, the new Doctor Strange is the director of the first one stepped down because Disney stepped in and said, I don't like the horror story element. Like, why not give a horror, like, a horror? I mean, I don't think it's going to be.
Are we ever going to see New Mutants?
Yeah, I think so, in August.
Well, August, if there's theaters that are ready to go by then. AMC won't be here. Alamo Draft House, although we haven't got one in St. Louis, some of them are closing.
Oh, really?
And that's been a healthy theater.
Wasn't it Weinberg that said that they would never show a Universal film again after the Trolls thing?
Well, Weinberg is no longer in business because Marcus bought them. And
oh,
so
yeah.
It wasn't them. It was someone big, though.
Yeah.
Because of the trolls thing. Yeah, which, bad news, people, and it's going to be the way.
Yeah.
It's all going to go to streaming at some point.
Yeah.
You're going to get maybe like a 30-day window, and then, I mean, and there's some things. Like, I'm going to watch 1917 because I hear it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I probably should have went and saw it at the theater, you know, because of the scope. The
experience, yeah.
Yeah, and same thing with superhero movies. You know, I'm going to enjoy Black Widow, you know, when it comes out.
In the theater. Star Wars movies, Jurassic Parks, all that stuff you want to see in the theater.
But they have to know, too, though, the studios have a lot to shoulder some of this blame, too, because they're making them so goddamn expensive.
Yeah.
And they're charging so, I mean, marketing costs so much, and it's all fictitious monopoly money.
Yeah.
It only costs that way because people keep driving up price because they think they're going to make billions on the movie. Yeah. That they're the ones that are killing the theater experience. So also, you know, with this whole COVID thing, they're like, wow, what, I mean, this is what's going to hurt the theaters even more is, we can make all the monies.
Yeah.
The theaters get none of it.
Yeah.
Let's make it all, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of getting 60% of the cut, they get 90% of the cut.
Yeah. I mean, I think, what was it, this weekend was supposed to be Wonder Woman 2 was supposed to come out this weekend. I think the next big film that's going to come out and is definitely being released, as long as nothing crazy happens, is Tenet or whatever, the Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah,
and even, that I have no idea what it's about.
But calling that one big is, I'm going to watch it. It looks awesome. I love Denzel Washington's son, who's the star of it. I can't think of his name, but it's
Michael?
Something. He's been great in everything he's been in, from Ballers to other movies and stuff.
Black Klansman was awesome.
Black Klansman, he was awesome. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
But that movie is set up to lose all of its ass in the theater.
But I don't think Christopher Nolan cares.
Like, I know, because Christopher Nolan just makes his movies.
Yeah, and then even if it loses all its money, like, even if it's a terrible movie, like, what's Christopher Nolan's worst movie?
Batman 3.
Yeah, probably.
And
Interstellar, I think, sucks.
Interstellar, not great, but it got critically acclaimed.
And Interstellar would have been fine if they wouldn't have gone back in time into that bookcase. That was weird.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah. Yeah. He outkicked his coverage there.
Yeah.
I never thought it.
Like, but, you really stretched here, bro.
Yeah. But, you know, but then, like, me and Hummel had talked. Then he'll make a movie like The Prestige.
Yeah.
And he gets hardly any buzz when it was out.
But
it turns out it's
so
one of the best
movies. Yeah. What was the war one that he did? Dunkirk. I thought that was weird as shit, too.
That Dunkirk was a good movie, though.
Was it?
I enjoyed it a lot, yeah. But you also have to, understand, too, Dunkirk might not have been really made for American audiences.
Yeah, probably.
It would be like people in France going and watching a movie about, the Alamo.
I think the thing that threw me is it took a while for me to realize that there's three different things going on at the exact same time. Are three different parts of the movie.
Yeah.
And they're all playing out at the same time, but they're not the same time.
Yeah.
And I think if I went back and watched it now, I might enjoy it a little bit more.
He Nolan'd you.
Yeah. But Tom Hardy's like coasting around at the end of the movie. I thought was really weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, when he
was like coasting back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that works that way.
Well, he was doing what he was doing on purpose.
Yeah.
And he knew he was out. He wasn't going to.
But I don't think physics works that way. I don't think you can go one way and then turn around and go, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not an engineer.
I think you need to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because he had enough. When his gas run out, it was after he'd made a few passes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it is. I'm thinking that he'd made like three or four
and
passes.
Spoiler alert, gas. He runs out of gas, and that's so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, this sucks.
But I mean, and at the same time, does he even say a word in that movie?
Very few.
Yeah.
But he's a weird actor, too.
He is
because
a weird actor.
He's been in movies where, like, Bronson, which was as powerful as a performance you'll ever get.
It's a wild movie.
He was in that movie where he was the car movie where he was the only guy in it.
Yeah.
And it's a fun movie.
It's intense, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's been, Bane.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst bat villain in all of films.
And then, what's Warrior, is it? Or the fighter
one? I like that one.
It's a good movie, but he don't do a lot of talking in it.
No, zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like four lines. That's all. We were brothers.
Yeah. And the thing that cracked me up is, celebrities doing all kinds of goofy shit during this COVID thing. And he's like reading books to kids. I'm like, is that what people want? Is that what kids want?
Yeah,
is Tom Hardy to read them books?
But they say he's a brilliant dude and he's a smart dude, but he just...
I know he's good, but...
But he looks like a meathead.
Yeah. But I mean, like, what kid's like, please have Tom Hardy read me a book? What movie has he been in that any 8-year-old knows?
Should have done it in the Bane voice.
Yeah.
By the way, if you said a while ago Christopher Nolan doesn't give a fuck if his movie is successful or not, if there's no any more evidence than that, then it is the third Bat film, because first Bat film of the Nolanverse, very good movie.
Yeah.
The second one, masterpiece.
Yes.
The third one, a bit countered, yeah. But he didn't care. It was his story.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Joker?
No, it's on HBO. I need to pull the trigger on it.
I know me and Missy have already talked about this on our show, but Emancipation of Harley Quinn was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Man, you're just shelling out the bucks to rent these movies.
Oh, that's all we did during the thing. Yeah. We watched new releases that were theater releases.
Yeah.
We turned this into a theater with the girls, and we would all watch every Friday night. We would do movie night.
That's cool.
And when it wasn't rent a movie, it was a classic movie. So our girls watched Breakfast Club. They watched Big. They watched Burbs. They really found their passion for Tom Hanks. They liked Tom Hanks.
Get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's not to love?
Yeah. Let him watch Bachelor Party?
No. Kaylin probably would watch it and like it. Kaylin has watched, Kaylin is running through the teenage movies. She's not done American Pie yet because that'll be the more riskier one.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, that's the end of the era, really.
Ferris Bueller, Pretty in Pink, all of those. She has just went, Can't Hardly Wait.
I need to go back and rewatch
10 Things I Hate About You, all of the, or not, what was that? Yeah. Yeah, 10 Things I Hate About You, all those. She's watched all those and loved them. She's loved them.
Yeah, I rewatched. And that's the other thing. Like, I don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and invest in a movie. Like, I started Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, I loved it.
I'm going to finish it this week, but I'm only like 30 minutes in.
You are struggling.
There's a lot of driving in that movie.
Yeah, and they love those scenes. And you're just struggling to get through things because of the kids.
Yeah, like, it's the kids.
Tom can't get through things at all.
Yeah. So, like, I'll throw on something like I rewatched Kong Skull Island. I mean, there's problems with that movie.
Oh, but it's
but
a
I love
movie.
It. Yeah, I fucking love it. You throwing giant apes and stuff.
I don't know that we reviewed this movie on the show, but I think I know we didn't review it on the show, but another one we quote unquote rented, shelled out the big bucks for. And I know it didn't get great reviews, but I thought it would be better than the reviews. But I'm going to officially give the worst rating that I've ever given to anything on this show and a 0 out of 5 for, what's the name of it? The snow movie with Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to watch that at all.
The worst movie I've ever seen.
That's based on a true story.
It's, I could see that because it's boring as fuck.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
No?
It's
And they're two ridiculously funny people.
It's almost like it's Will Ferrell, and he's done this in other movies very well, but it's almost like it was Will Ferrell trying to Adam Sandler. Like, Adam Sandler, when he makes a serious movie, Punch Drunk Love, Spanglish, love him. Will Ferrell did it on this. Maybe one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my house watching a movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's not as bad as the time I paid to go see Ultraviolet in the theater.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fucking close.
Adam Sandler's got Uncut Gems on Netflix. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, I gotta watch that.
Well, it's supposed to be good, and I've heard terrible things. Like, I don't. But the people I've heard terrible things from, I think, are expecting like Billy Madison.
Everybody thought it was supposed to get an Oscar buzz. In fact, everybody was up in Hollywood. People were up in arms.
Adam Sandler said, "Well, I was gonna put on pants for this because I thought I was gonna get one, but now I'm just gonna go back to making."
He said it's your fault.
Grown ups movies from here on out.
Yeah, he said it's your fault, Hollywood.
Yeah, which is fine. I can't wait to watch it, but I think that was the main two things I brought.
I guess the last thing I can talk about that I haven't yet to talk about on the podcast, and the thing I loved, which it was fortuitous or serendipitous, I guess, that we switched
what
over.
What a fun word!
Yeah, that we switched over to iPhones to get our Apple Plus.
Yeah.
The week before the Beastie Boys documentary debuted on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
I give it a 5 out of 5. I can start there. I wanted to give it a 6 out of 5. But there were things that I did not like the decisions they made.
Mm-hmm.
It was, one, it was awesome. It is a great, so for those that don't know, it's a documentary, but it's also a live show that they did a limited tour on,
mm-hmm.
and Spike Jonze filmed the live show
and
directed and edited and made the documentary. And it's awesome. You'll learn more, and you'll respect the Beastie Boys more because it really starts at how famous they got and how they were really only signed by Russell Simmons so he could have a white act. And he wanted them to – and that first album was supposed to be a parody. They were supposed to be – it was a shining a light on douchebags that they didn't like.
Oh.
But because they were – they he encouraged it, mm-hmm. and they started drinking. They turned into it.
Yeah.
And so that's why when they left Def Jam and they went out to Hollywood and California and started making their own music with this Paul's Boutique, which mm-hmm. massively flopped.
Yeah.
They were driven to spirituality and things like that in order to kind of reclaim what they loved about music. Mm-hmm. And you really get it. And I did cry at the end when they get into Adam Yauch dying.
Yeah.
The things I didn't like is they glaze over the last two albums. Hot Sauce Committee and To the Five Boroughs, the last two albums. They don't mention them. The other thing they glaze over, and this is the one that I really, really would have liked to know, is they don't talk about Mixmaster Mike in it, which has been a massive part of their band since Ill Communication days.
Mm-hmm.
Since they started touring on the Ill Communication. Hello Nasty is where he was the first album he was mm-hmm. on. And he's one of the greatest live DJs in the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they didn't talk about him. It was almost like the documentary got to an hour and 45 minutes, and they said, well, let's just wrap it all up with Adam Yauch's death.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't get into that part mm-hmm. of it, which that kind of upset me a little bit because I love Mixmaster mm-hmm. Mike, but still well worth it. I think you'd enjoy it.
Is this separate from the book that came out?
The book is what inspired it. So they took tales from the book okay. and put it on the thing. But there's a lot of really good stuff there to dissect. And it really
in the book or the show?
The movie, both. The book's awesome, too.
So let me you were talking about Mike. Is Mike in the book more?
Mixmaster Mike?
Yeah.
I haven't read the last probably third of the book yet.
Okay.
So that
okay.
would be where he gets to.
I'd be curious to know if they flesh it out more in the book.
You learn, and I'm not saying, well, I'm partially saying this. I know there's a little bit of Homer in me about this. Mm-hmm. Adam Yauch was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote most of their stuff. He's the one that really turned them towards like the Tibetan Freedom Concert and all that stuff. Learned about Buddhism. He's the one that changed their lyrics and said, hey, for a while, we're going to bury songs like Paul Revere.
Yeah.
Because we shit on women.
Yeah.
And he's the one that did all that. And then, but they said what was weird is they would spend 6.5 out of 7 days a week together.
Mm.
And then, like, you know, they wouldn't see him on a, like, they'd be like, they'd say, we'd literally leave Adam at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, and a Monday morning, he'd call us into his house and go, hey, I just learned about running tapes backwards through a reel and they're like, when did you learn about it?
Yeah.
He goes, this was pre-internet. We don't know when he learned about it. And he would come up with things. He goes, you know, I've read the book from the Dalai Lama. And they're like, we've been together nonstop for 3 months. When have you done it? And he would just do it. And he would come up with these things. It's awesome.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Like I said,
I like that stuff.
Could have been a 6 out of 5. It's a 5 out of 5 for me.
So, non-partial, 4 and 5?
4.5. Missy loved it.
Okay.
She was very, she didn't cry like I did.
Yeah.
But she's like, I did not know a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And you know how they were punk, how they, you know, when they decided to go back to playing instruments, when they were like, fuck it, let's just make what we want. And they started, they said, you know, with Paul's Boutique, they got in litigation for so long over the mixes. They're like, well, let's just, instead of hiring a band, let's just learn to play better.
Yeah.
So they just learned to play instruments for their albums there on out, you know?
Yeah. I don't do a lot of documentaries. I should do more of them.
I think, considering how you like to read about real people, you should watch documentaries.
And that's the thing, like, I like a good synopsis article. Just give me the cliff notes on this shit.
I need the idiot's guy.
Yeah, just real fast. I have been doing a lot of reading. Like, I've read a lot of comic books. I'm right now, I just finished up, and the third volume isn't on there yet, but Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, yeah. Captain America. I love the first one.
Man, it's good.
I haven't read the second one yet, but
it's the continuation. It's still really good. I love the first one. And he brings in like this all girl team of like the Daughters of Liberty, and they they're pretty interesting characters that are in the background running around. But man, he does a good job. Like, I liked what he did with Black Panther, but I think it was his first real foray into comic books with Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a little wordy and a little preachy sometimes. And I was like, man, this is a lot of text and not a lot going on. But he goes the opposite direction with Captain America, and it's a lot of it is inner dialogue that Cap's doing.
Well, and this is not a criticism. It's merely an observation. When a guy like Coates, who is a black man,
and a very articulate.
Very articulate, very minded of his station in life, mm-hmm. to where, and the platform he's given, mm-hmm. to be able to shed light on things like injustices.
Yeah.
Very much, you know, in the current climate of what we're dealing with, when they're given a book like Black Panther,
mm-hmm.
even though his run was pretty well received,
yeah.
I too tried to read it and I thought, oh, sometimes it, and I don't blame them because what they have to do. I mean, what I feel like you can fall prey to is, I'm a black man,
yeah.
in the modern world we live in, writing the one of the strongest black characters. I got to take this chance to really say something.
Yeah,
and I think that that's perfectly legitimate thing to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also sometimes people need to realize you're writing a comic book.
Yeah,
and I feel like with Captain America, he doesn't feel like he has to do that. What he has to do is just take the character of Captain America that had went through some shit,
yeah.
and justify and make all that stupid shit like Hydra and all that cool.
Yeah.
And he's done that perfectly.
But he's also doing it, and he's still hitting that message of like,
exactly.
who I am as a man and like, what do I stand for?
Yeah.
Is it, do I stand for a blind loyalty that the flag and Captain America originally was made for, or am I my own man? And I just stand for what's right in the world. And I think he's doing a better job of that, like especially with the writing, because it's shorter, it's more concise,
yeah.
and it feels like Winter Soldier. Like the way it's running, like the movie Winter Soldier, like the Black Ops and the co-op stuff, and it's back to that. The Black Panther, I thought it was wordy. And then he got into other things that I think also needed to shed some light. He brought in a very, black LGBTQ characters, and they were... But it was a lot of stuff, and in this one, it's more concise, and it's like it's a book on the run.
And I'm good that people do that.
Yeah.
There does need to be an outlet for that.
Exactly.
But I think there's an argument to be made that his Captain America is almost an even better role model to the black community than what his Black Panther was,
yeah.
because his Captain America, I think he just pulls it off better.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying.
And I think it's probably because
he's knocked the dust off. Like he's got it figured out.
There's less weight on him
that
character. And I think he does a great job. And I think he's a great writer. And speaking of black comic book creators,
yeah.
did you see that one about the guy for DC in the park filming the woman who let her dog off the leash?
He was the first gay and one of the first black writers.
He's a black gay writer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that could hold him back because of stupid people in the world. And
he just powered through it all.
And that white woman walking her dog was the perfect poster child for that.
Yeah.
What a dumb bitch.
Ah, she's a terrible... She got that dog back, by the way.
Well...
Which, whatever.
She might be a great dog owner, but just follow the rules.
She was choking that dog, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was doing it when she became angry at him. Yeah, she forgot
she's
about
such
the dog.
A terrible person.
Yeah. And she got fired.
Yeah. Yeah, rightfully so.
Act like a dipshit, lose your job.
Yeah, there was an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I don't want to get too far down this, but there was with the current situation and the protesting and stuff, a pig farmer in Missouri posted a picture of looting on top and like a farmer at the bottom and said, if these people did more of this, like throwing hay into a thing, maybe they'd be too tired to farm. And it came off as racist and insensitive and stupid. And he supplied like Bailey's Range, like all these like giant big restaurants downtown, like these independent restaurants that people go to. And every one of them was like, you're done. And he lost 100% of his orders in one day off of one fucking Facebook post.
Don't be dumb.
Yeah. And he said he was sorry. And people are like, well, we'll give him.
Drew Brees stepped in it.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is a squeaky clean and as big a role model as you could get in sports, and he stepped in it.
Yeah.
And his own teammates were like, they didn't turn on him, but they were like...
No, but they were like, come on, man.
Yeah, we're very upset with you.
Yeah.
I bet he takes a knee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Better.
Yeah. You better be right there with him. Drew, what was it? I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden. How the fuck can I forget his name? Green Bay's... Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers stepped up and was like, well, this is my time to be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Look, here's all the pictures of me arm in arm with my black teammates.
I'm going to say the 100% right thing right now.
Which, that, to me, with Drew Brees, the problem was whether you agree with him or don't agree with him. Actually, Brian Callen, not to throw too much of the fighter and the kid on this episode, but he today, I was listening to their Friday episode, and he said, you know, people have been tweeting me and stuff and saying, how come you guys haven't talked about what's going on in the world and stuff. He goes, not my time.
Yeah.
He goes, I agree with a lot of what's going on, and I disagree with a lot of the looting that's going on. He goes, but there's not a way I can say it that couldn't get me in hot water with someone. He goes, I'm going to let people have their catharticism and go through it. And Drew Brees should have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not your time, bud.
No.
Not about you.
Yeah.
I had a, there's a person I used to work with. And again, we don't want to go too political, but they said, they posted a thing that said, anyone that has a problem with me saying all lives matter. How did they word it? I want to word it the way they worded it. They go, anyone has a problem with me saying all lives matter just doesn't understand what we should stand for. And I wanted to respond by saying, but I didn't because I didn't want to get in a fight. I go, but you saying that, you know, having a problem with them saying Black Lives Matter means you don't understand.
Yeah.
And that argument is the dumbest I've ever heard, because whether you do or don't understand Black Lives Matter, by you saying they don't understand what I mean, you're being dumb. Stop talking.
Yeah, there's been a couple good signs from that. Like, there's one that says, like, we never said all lives didn't matter. We never said, you know, blue lives didn't matter. We just said that right now Black lives are, you know, under the microscope right now. And, you know, there's different things like that. And then I saw one today that was like, if you think all lives matter or get mad at Black Lives Matter, but then post Blue Lives Matter, then you're definitely part of the problem.
Yeah, I saw a great video, and it was some white woman, and she goes, her house was on fire and it was fake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was like, my house is on fire. And then she was the other version. She goes, oh no, I don't want my house to catch on fire. Keep that over there.
Yeah,
and she's like, yeah. She goes, well, yeah, but my house is still on fire. She goes, yeah, but doesn't my house matter to you? And she goes, well, yeah, but mine is the one that's burning right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but still, mine could catch on fire. Yeah. And she's like, easy. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's a very a visual way to see it. I like that.
My other favorite thing, and certainly don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but the other thing I found.
Yet here we are.
Is the people that have photoshopped onto the Bible that Trump held up, like Idiot's Guide to Governing and things like that. Like,
yeah.
Or there's now a challenge on the social media to go pose with a book you've never read in some place you've never visited.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
That's good stuff. It's been a weird week.
It's a weird time. I've said this before. There's not a generation alive or in history, and I think that you got to qualify it a little bit the way I'm going to explain it, that has ever dealt with what we're dealing with.
No.
And by that, I mean people have lived through pandemics.
Yeah.
Yes, and they've done that. But we've never experienced a pandemic when the population is at what it is, when the social media is at what it is, when the political climate is so heated. There is this weird, it's Mark Wahlberg's The Perfect Storm.
Yeah.
And no one knows the world we're in right now. We've never experienced.
Yeah.
And our kids hopefully can tell their kids about it without saying it ever happened again.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I believe if I had to pick, I think we're going to have a 5-year virus cycle.
Yeah,
I think it's going to happen quite a bit.
Yeah,
And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't buy hardly any conspiracies. But I'll say this: if you were an enemy of the United States and you didn't do this, you just learned how to cripple the country without actually going to war with us, which is a bad idea.
Yeah,
but you can cripple us in different ways, and we learned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just us though; it's the entire world.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, there's always.
But we've done pretty badly at this.
There's always anytime there's a war, there's innocent lives claimed, collateral damage.
Yeah. And
you know, so I'm not saying this is an engineered thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying every lab in the world needs to back off engineering things.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure.
Just to be safe.
Well, we did send SARS a couple years ago to China on accident. Like, it was supposed to be the dead virus, and they accidentally sent the live one. Like, oops. Luckily, it didn't get out.
If you want something that seems entirely plausible, but is still a conspiracy theory, read about the thought that we created Lyme disease.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And where Lyme disease originates, where that military lab is, and read about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes you go, well, fuck.
Yeah. Well, I forget what it was, and this is just my ignorance showing, but they did do testing on black soldiers in World War II. I forget what it was that they were testing on them, but it was something.
Well, you also want something great. Read the book Chaos, which I can't think of the name of the writer, but it is about he spent 20-plus years researching the CIA's involvement with Charles Manson.
Oh, yeah?
And Charles Manson always had warrants out for arrest, got arrested many times, and was let go.
Yeah.
The LSD that he used to keep people on his side was given to him by the CIA.
Really?
He was a part of the CIA studies. They would literally, they called it Operation, God, I can't think of the name of it, but they would essentially give hippies during the 60s and 70s LSD and then follow them around to see how they acted.
Yeah.
And some of them would commit suicide and stuff because they were paranoid that someone was watching. And they also did this thing to where they would they'd set up a brothel, and Johns would come in, and the girls would never sleep with them. What they'd do is get them to buy a drink first, and they were drugging them with LSD.
Yeah.
And then they were fucking with the people in the rooms.
Oh,
that was called Midnight Climax, Operation Midnight Climax. This is things we did to ourselves, not other countries. Yeah.
Speaking of that drugging thing, I have I watched Hustle with Jennifer Lopez, and that's basically what they do.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's okay. It's fine.
Isn't it on demand now or something?
It was on. I think it's on Showtime.
It's one of the things.
Yeah, it's fine.
We did get rid of HBO and Showtime.
Did you?
And we have just Epix because it's cheap.
Yeah.
And then we, Missy goes, well, maybe we'll do HBO Max. I go, well, then it's the same fucking price as HBO. Yeah, it's like
$15 or something.
$15 a month. Yeah. I can't wait for the streaming wars to consolidate and us to have.
Yeah, I know.
Because everybody that cuts the cord because to save money, they're not really saving money.
No, not at all. Like unless you're doing like I do and.
And they
give passwords out and borrow passwords from other people.
And they're putting the kibosh on that pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's go ahead and throw it to Missy before we call this good. Is there anything that Missy obviously is not here?
Yeah.
She texted me that I have to stop and pick up meat for grilling.
Okay.
But yeah,
I'm supposed to bring home dinner.
Is there anything else that we've got to talk about?
I don't think so, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a while. And I'm going to push the envelope as much as I can.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to tell you, let's do back to weekly. You get as much as you can in.
Yeah.
I figure if I ask you to do it every week and I get 3 out of 5, that's a win.
Yeah. And then, like, weekdays are pretty decent for me for the most part, except for Thursdays, because Jeremiah doesn't have practice right now. So
I have said that come mid-January when the Hummel leash is cut, we are going to do a Saturday episode. It
could be January.
mid-July, we're going to get a Saturday episode where you guys better Uber here because we're all getting shit-faced.
Oh, dude. I just won't go home. It's fine.
There you go. We'll do it early, like noon.
Yeah.
And then we'll just tell Rachel to come over and grill later, and then she can drive you home.
She'll enjoy the shit out of that.
My text I just got is the Krugers don't have buns, and I'm on my last beer.
You gotta go.
Well, no one's here to say bye but you.
Hold on to your butt.
And we're gonna play the music.